I heard some amazing things. I just want to share a few quick things with you that that we heard about. It is always good to be around people who are in touch out there and kind of seeing like we're seeing here on the field. And they've got stories. We've got stories. But I heard some amazing things. We met a woman who about 20 years ago had a death sentence in her life canceled in her body. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean, a man of God laid hands on her and literally cursed that death sentence that was in her body. He put to death by his words and by his faith, he put to death a terminal disease that was literally eating her alive. And so we met her the other day. It was just amazing to see her stand there. She said, I'm in this church today. I'm here today serving because this minister that hosted this event, he's the man who prayed for me some 20 years ago. And I'm here. I'm alive today because of that curse of that sickness in my body. Amen. Praise the Lord. I talked to a man. We had lunch with a man one day who has a healing ministry. He prays for the sick quite a bit. And he prayed for an attorney who had to quit his job because he had gone blind. You know, sometimes people, a disease will come on somebody gradually. He wasn't born blind, but he went blind and had to get out of work. He had resigned from being an attorney, but praise the Lord healed him, and he's back at work as an attorney. Amen. So that's an amazing story. I'm sure that just blew his socks off as a man to see the Lord heal his eyesight, and he gets to go back to work in the line of work he enjoys. Amen. I heard a story of a man who was a missionary, and he had gone overseas. I believe it was in Africa, but don't quote me. Most likely Africa, because that's where there's still a lot of violence against the gospel in some parts. And he was there, and one night he was surrounded. He was in a village, obviously ministering the gospel, but he was surrounded by men who wanted to kill him. And all of a sudden he saw them, as he's looking out at them, he saw them drop their weapons and flee. Well, about a year later, he talked to one of the guys that had actually been part of that group that wanted to kill him that night. And he told him, he said, I was one of those men. And when you came out of your hut, when you came out of the place you were staying, we saw 39 warriors, huge warriors, swords drawn, and it caused us to flee in terror. And so that missionary, he came back to the United States at some point, and he was talking with someone here. I think it was his own pastor from his home church. Yeah, his local church pastor. And his local church pastor asked him, he said, about a year ago, was there a time when you were in mortal danger, when you were, you know, you were up against a situation that was very dangerous to you? He said, Oh yeah. He said, well, that the Lord had laid on our hearts at that time. He told him the date. They corresponded the dates together. And the pastor said, at that time I felt led to have a prayer meeting at the church, and we had 39 people show up for prayer for you that night. Wow. Isn't that something? One angel for every prayer warrior. Amen. Our prayers affect great things in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's pray. We're going to get right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the truth written for us. We thank you for the sacrifices made so we could have this truth in our hands. Just hold your Bible up if you've got it with you. Hold it up and let's give thanks. Lord, we thank you for the written Word to remind us. These are your love notes to us, so we don't forget how much you care for us, how much you've given for us, Father. And we thank you for it. Jesus, right now, open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our spiritual eyes to see and hear what you want us to see and hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I shared with you recently, I'm going to be sharing verses as often as the Lord brings them up to my heart about the last days, because I sincerely believe we're living in the times that are right up against the coming of Jesus. And there's a verse in Luke 17, verse 26 and 27 says this. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage. Nothing wrong with those things unless you're distracted by them, right? Nothing wrong with anything in life unless it's a distraction to the most important thing. Amen. That's what he's saying. These people were given in marriage right up until the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. No one wants to be caught off guard. Those people in Noah's day were caught off guard. But notice the way it said it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Not the days of Samson, not the days of Gideon, not the days of Moses, not the days of David. As it was in the days of Noah. And then he goes on to describe in detail. These people were distracted by life's cares. right up to the very day the rain started falling. One of the things I was thinking about in this phrase, the days of Noah, you know, I'm sure Noah felt like in his day, is there anybody else out there that wants to live for God? I feel like I'm the only one on the planet that's following God. Do you ever feel that way sometimes? You go to work and you think, man, am I the only one here that doesn't curse at the water cooler? Am I the only one here that doesn't cheat, you know, on my boss with my time card? Or, well, I don't use time cards anymore, but whatever. Cheat my company some way. You know, am I the only one? You ever said that to yourself? Am I the only one? You ever felt that way? I'm sure Noah felt that way. And in fact, the Bible tells us there were only 8 people that came into the ark with Noah. And 25% of that 8 people was him and his wife. You think he felt like he was the only one in the world ready to serve God? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be in the days of Jesus. And I'm telling you, as the world gets darker and darker out there, we are feeling this sense of, am I the only one that's wanting to live pure? Hey, guys, you know, when you're watching TV and something comes on that's a bit temptation, the guys are eyes driven. So I'm just going to speak to men a little bit. As Father's Day, I'm going to speak brutally honest with you. You know, nowadays, the weather ladies wear really tight dresses. That it wasn't that way when I was a kid. But nowadays they do. So when you're watching TV and some weather babe comes up on there, how about you change the channel, right? Let's get an update from Fox News or home, what is it? HGTV instead, right? Let's see a home remodel at that moment. Hey guys, have some integrity in this day and age. Why? Because these are the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's a day to live pure. John the Apostle said, those who believe Jesus is coming, they'll do what? They'll purify themselves even as he is pure. Amen? And so these are the times that we're living in. And you may feel like, well, I'm the only one in my family who, you know, doesn't go out drinking on Friday nights and get crazy at the bar. I'm the only one in my family who doesn't run around with my wife. I'm the only one in my family who doesn't look at porn. Be the only one. Be the only one. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Whether the world's aware of it or not. Are you with me? He's coming. And there's his amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we've been talking about recently, that's not my message. That's my end time appetizer for the day. All right? Jesus is coming soon. You know, I share that everywhere I go now. I shared it with the guy on the airplane yesterday as we're coming back from California. Jesus is coming soon. And it's amazing to me how stupefied people are used to that. It's almost like it's so cliche with them. Even people who know about the Lord, when you tell them that, sometimes they just kind of look at you like, yeah, you know, you got something crawling out your ear. You know, it's just like you're half crazy. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. I told my taxi driver that when we were in Israel a month ago. We were driving from the airport to our landing spot, and I looked over at him and said, you know, part of the reason we're here in Israel is to remind people Jesus is coming soon. Yeshua is coming soon. And he kind of gave me that stupefied look, almost like, yeah, I've heard that before. And he looked straight ahead. And so I looked out the window. And right at that moment, as we were passing a building, they had a big banner, a temporary banner up on the building. It said, coming soon. There was my amen right there. And I looked over and I said, you see, that's a sign. What I just said is true. Jesus is coming soon. But listen, folks, it's the hour for us to share that with people. Whether they look at you like you're half crazy or look at you like they're out to lunch, it doesn't matter. We have to get the word out. Jesus is coming soon. The storm's coming. Are you in the ark? Are you in the ark? There's safety in the ark. This is the time to be in the ark. What is the ark? In Christ. Connected to his body. Connected to a local church where you hear the word, where you are fed about the things of Jesus. Amen. Well, here's my true message. Let's go forward. Last week or two, we talked about inheritance. We talked about being made righteous. Do you remember that from 2 weeks ago? We talked about last week prosperity, that the Lord has made us prosperous through the poverty he took on in his body. It wasn't just to show how willing Jesus was to take a vow of poverty, but because he wanted to deposit in our lives a wealth inheritance in him that would get us ahead in life instead of behind in life. How many of you know it's great to be on top instead of under the barrel? Amen. It's great to be out of debt instead of in debt. It's great to be paying your bills on time instead of having people call you you don't want to pick up the phone for. And Jesus came to give us those things. And we could talk extensively about all the things Jesus came to give us. Amen. So we established the fact that Jesus died so we could inherit. Amen. You could write that down if you're taking notes. Jesus died so I could inherit. That's right. It takes the death of someone for an inheritance to be issued. Amen. And Jesus came literally to pass on to us an inheritance. But I don't want us to miss the key part of that inheritance. That's what I'm here to talk to you about today. But part of the inheritance is all. You say, well, what am I inheriting? The Bible teaches it, and he makes it very clear. We're going to look at it in John 3 in just a moment, that he came to give us all. Say all. All that he had received from the Father. But most importantly, the Father himself. Don't miss that. Amen, believer? This is our greatest part of our inheritance. Amen? It's not money in the bank. It's not peace of mind. It's not your kids acting right. It's not all these things in the natural that we see around us that give us a comfortable and wonderful life, although that is part of the blessing that Jesus came to give us. Amen? But the greatest blessing Jesus came to give us is Abba. Say Abba. Abba. Not a 1980s rock band from Europe. The days of the disco ball. No, not Abba in that sense, but Abba Father. Amen? Say Abba Father. What is Abba? Abba is an endearing term. It is an intimate family term. Like we would say, a child in our family nowadays would say Dada. Right? Spelled the same way. Dada. D-A-D-A or D-A-D-D-A, right? You spell it backwards and forwards. It's the same pronunciation, right? No matter which way you go, Abba is the same way. It's a very endearing term. And for us as believers in Jesus Christ, listen, you may not have been, you may not be connected to Jewish blood, but when Jesus came, the Bible says he made one new man out of both Jew and Gentile, and we're both children of God. Amen. And so we can both look up to heaven now and say, Abba, I have not just a father, but a daddy. That's an enduring term. Amen. You know, any male can father a child. And with today's being Father's Day, there's something more that's required of us as men than just helping create children. We must give our life, our self-control, our sacrifice, just like moms do. They're really good at it. It comes natural for them. But we must do the same in order to become daddy to those children. Amen? We have some great fathers in here, great examples of that. John chapter 3, would you turn there, please, in your Bibles? John 3. John chapter 3, verse 35. That's not so hard to get to. I was in a service recently where they said, turn to Jonah. I was like, oh, man. I've been meaning for years to memorize those minor prophets, and I could not find Jonah for the life of me. Finally, I just stopped flipping and just looked up at the minister and listened to the rest of the sermon. But John is easy. John is easy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Here we go. John 3:35. The Father loveth the Son. That's enough in itself. Amen. The Father loveth the Son. But there's more. Wait, there's more, right? Ginsu knives, right? And he has given all things into his hands. Say all things. All things. Listen, in this verse, we see two keys that Jesus is talking about in his relationship to his Father. Now, this is John the Baptist actually talking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll see these letters are not in red. So this is not Jesus describing his relationship with his Father, although these are very closely endearing terms. It's okay. Leave him in here. He's fine. This is our newest member of the church, Rhett Ryan Gilbert. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so thankful the Lord brought him into the world safe and mama's healthy and strong. John the Baptist actually wrote these words. That's why they're in black, not red in your Bible. And John is describing, and he said, the Father loveth is a King James words. We could say the Father loves the Son and has given all things. So for you, for this Father's Day message, I want you to write down two things. If you're taking notes, please write the word love and then write the phrase all things. What do we inherit as part of Jesus's sacrifice at Calvary for us? We got love. Amen. You may not have ever been properly loved growing up. That some of you may have had good fathers. Some of you may have had horrible fathers. I know there are many people in life that have gone through horrific experiences with their earthly father. But whether you had, and I had a really good dad, actually. I'm very grateful. And every day I'm starting to, realize more and more how much I have to be grateful for and make sure I express gratitude for what was there instead of being nitpicky about what was missing, right? It's good to be grateful, isn't it? Yeah. And so some of us had good fathers, some of us had horrific fathers. I'm telling you, the good news of the gospel is this. No matter what your natural father experience was growing up, there is a heavenly Father, and he offers love. to all of us. Amen. He offers the proper kind of care and love that we all every human heart seeks. And that's what John is describing here. He said, the Father loves the Son. So we got love when we got Jesus. Amen. We got the Father's love. But not only that, he has given all things. And there's that idea of inheritance. You know, we're kind of continuing the theme, although today's message is called Abba. We're continuing the idea that if you're a son, you get to inherit. Amen. That's part of the promise Jesus is describing here through John the Baptist. He said, we got love and we got all things. Say all things. All things. Now, this idea of all things is also seen in the life of Abraham. And I love the analogy. Not only was Jesus loved, Abraham was deeply loved by God. Amen. Turn to Joshua in your Old Testament. That might be a little more challenging for some of you to find. That's okay. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, right? Joshua is about the sixth book of the Bible. Joshua 24 and verse 2. This is the backstory behind Abraham when God found him. And it also corresponds to Romans 5:8. I love the correspondence between these two ideas. But let's start in Joshua. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to read it in the more modern translation. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to you, Joshua 24, 2. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river. Say, beyond the river. What river is that, Pastor? That's the river Euphrates. If you look on a modern day map, that would be the river going north to south in Iraq, the country of Iraq, right? So he's describing that river, the Euphrates River in Iraq. And he says, but I took your father. I took him. How many of you have been taken by Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad you've been taken? Isn't it great that Jesus found you beyond the river when you were in darkness and he lifted you up? Amen. I took your father from beyond the river. And I brought him to the land throughout Canaan. I brought him beyond the river. And I led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. And I missed a part. I skipped over something. I didn't mean to. Verse 2. Let's read it again. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. That's the part I wanted to make sure you saw in your Bible. Okay, you should highlight this. This is a backstory commentary verse about Abraham. When Abraham was found by God, he was a idol worshiper. Say idol worshiper. This guy worshiped rocks. What is an idol worshiper, right? Because they made things out of stone back then. They made idols out of wood or stone, usually. Can you imagine how dumb it is to worship a rock? I mean, it's lifeless. It can't see you. It can't hear you. It can't help you. Amen? Can't protect you. And it's the dumbest thing man ever did was to start worshiping rocks. But Abraham worshiped an idol. He worshiped the other gods when he lived beyond the river. And yet God found him. Aren't you glad? You know, we're not told anything in the Bible about Abraham as far as in any way outwardly, anything he did outwardly to deserve God finding him in this way. But love lifted me, right? When you and I were found by Jesus, was there anything good in our life that we could say, oh, I'm sure Jesus came running for this, right? No, we were as dumb as Abraham, I'm sure, in those days. We were worshiping rocks or other things, right? We can make an idol out of anything. You make an idol out of your career, out of your reputation. But God found him. Aren't you so glad? Now, I want to point out to you that the land that God pulled Abraham out of, we know from the Old Testament, it was a little town called Ur. Say Ur. Ur. Sounds like you're forgetting where you're from, but his town was actually Ur of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans are the equivalent of the Babylonians. And in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, the place of Babylon is also a symbol of the worst of evil, right? I mean, is it not true that in Revelation at the end of the book, right, we read in Revelation chapter 18, there's a symbolized picture of the Apostle John saw a huge angel pick up a millstone. A millstone is a big grinding stone about the size of a man, like a big wheel that goes around and grinds either grain or olives or whatever. He picked up a big millstone and cast it into the sea. And the scripture says that was symbolic of the downfall of Babylon. Why? Because God hates Babylon. It's the place of evil. It's the seat of evil. And where was Abraham from? Essentially Babylon. Do you see it? How many of you know God's not afraid to go in the darkest, deepest den of sin to pull a man out? Amen? Don't you be put off by your relatives that are walking in the deepest darkness you can imagine. You say, oh, they're just too far gone. They're just gone, right? I'm telling you, Jesus will find them. He did it for Abraham. He'll do it for us. Amen? He went to Ur of the Chaldeans. He said, there's a man worshiping idols, but I got plans for him. And isn't it interesting? You know, Abraham was only about 400 years from Noah. If you look timeline-wise, from Noah to the time of Abraham, it's about 422 years. Now, who did Noah worship? I mean, the one true God, right? There wasn't an idol one in his life. And Noah had a son named Shem, and from Shem came the descendants all the way down to Abraham. Abraham descended from Shem, and yet only a mere 400 years. You say, well, that's a long time, Pastor. Yeah, but Abraham's father lived 205 years. So 400 years wasn't as long back then as it is now. You follow me? So in a 400-year period, one of the descendants from Noah went from worshiping the one true God to worshiping idols, worshiping rocks. Folks, I want to ingrain this, especially since it's Father's Day. Don't take for granted that you got your kids in church. They're getting it. Don't get lazy. No kid gets God by osmosis. They're not just going to get it by osmosis. They're going to get it by your example. And you got to engrave that thing on your child. Listen, folks, we're living in a dark world nowadays. I heard this analogy years ago. They said, in these times when the spirit of Jezebel is so prevalent, it's going to take the spirit of Elijah to counter that spirit. You say, what in the world are they talking about? The spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel is immorality, idolatry, darkness, evil. And the point was being made that to the extent that that evil is in the world right now, we got to have the same intensity as an Elijah. Amen. Ready to lay our life down, ready to prophesy in the face of a bunch of idol worshiping Israelites who could have turned on him and killed him, but except for God's protection. We got to be willing to stand up for Jesus in these darkest of times with the same spirit, the same fervency as Elijah. Amen. That's where we're living. But don't take for granted that your kids are getting it. Amen. Make sure they're getting it. And your grandkids. I'm talking to grandparents here too today too. Don't just think that because you're walking with Jesus, they're getting it. Make sure they're getting it. Engrave Jesus on their heart. Amen. At every chance you get, every opportunity you get, you pray over them. You break curses. You anoint them with oil. You bring them to church. Every service you can get them into. That's why we say next Sunday night. We know it's a Sunday night and they got school the next. No, they don't have school the next day. Yay. Okay. So we know it's a weekday going in the next night, but bring those kids here and let them sit in the service and feel the anointing and see the anointing and see mom and dad get touched. Amen. Get them around the presence of God every chance you get. Why? Because there's a dark world out there that's vying for their life. Praise the Lord. Okay. Corresponding verse to this verse we just read in Joshua. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I'm going to put it up here on the slide on the screen behind us. Romans 5:8. This is a very familiar verse to most of us. Go ahead and put that up if you have it, please. Romans 5:8. But God, that's a great phrase in itself. Amen. Yes. But God, you say, my child's walking in darkness. My grandchild's just, they're lost. They're too far gone, Pastor. No, but God, that'll preach right there. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. I love that word. While. It speaks of this, when we were at our worst, amen, at our worst place, not when you were going to church, not when you were doing the right things, not when you were thinking the right things, not when you were behaving, when you were at your worst, the scripture says Christ died for us, amen. Read that last part with me out loud. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, amen. That's a good place for a praise break, in my opinion. Yeah. We ought to praise him for just a minute and tell him thanks. Amen. While we were at our worst, he didn't find us at our best. He found us at our worst. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. The same grace you gave our forefather Abraham, the same grace you gave Noah, you gave to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we were at our worst. Now turn back to Genesis chapter 15, talking about Abraham once more. Genesis 15:1. Just wanted to see you to see that in the New Testament. But let's go back to the story of Abraham for just one moment. I want you to see these powerful words. Genesis 15:1. You know, there are certain verses in the Bible that are like, they're like stopping points. You know, if you're on a journey, if you're on a hike, sometimes they'll have mile markers, right? If you're like a 5-mile hike, or like Rick and I did a forever hike to the sun beats you into the ground hike, right? It's good to have landmarks here and there just to remind you, you're not lost in the woods. but this is, the scriptures like this are landmark type. They're marker verses, and you should really highlight them because they're kind of like stopping points. As you read through the Bible, they're stopping points to pause and think about a truth. Amen. And here's one, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. Notice his name has not been changed yet. It's just Abram. He doesn't have the ha. That's the breath of God. When you get the breath of God in you, you can give birth to kids at 100 years of age. Amen? How many of you want that? Not too many takers on that. Okay. Oh, we got one in the back. Believe it, brother. All right, Abraham. At this point, he's still Abram. He's not Abraham yet. He's Abram. And God came to him in a vision saying, look at these words, fear not. What does God do when he comes into our life through Jesus? He casts out our fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. God says, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I like that wording in the King James. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. But notice the most important phrase right there. Fear not, Abram. I am. I am. You got your markers out? You got your pens out? You ought to be circling that, but you're highlighting that. Why do we not have to fear in life? I am. I am has come to us. I am has pulled us out of darkness, out of Ur of the Chaldeans, out of the land of idolatry, out of deepest darkness, out of Babylon itself. I am comes to us with his love, and he casts out our fear. I am. Now notice the two things he is. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. Hey, it's Father's Day. I'll talk a little bit about football, about as much as I know. I know there's defense and there's offense, right? And you got to have both. And God said to Abram, before he changed his name, he said, Abram, I want you to know you got me. That'd make a good t-shirt. Got Father? Some people couldn't wear that. I'm sorry to say they don't know their father. They're not attached to their earthly father. Got father? But listen, if you're in the kingdom, you got a father. Amen? You got father? You got all there is, and you got the most important thing in life. Did you know statistics show 70% of long-term prison inmates, that's people in for the bad stuff, come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from, you guessed it, fatherless homes. Fatherless families are 4 times more likely to live under the burden and the shame of poverty. What do those statistics show us? Dad matters. Dad matters. Amen. Dad is a significant pillar in society. He may not be perfect. He may leave his dirty socks laying around when you don't like it the most, ladies, but I'm telling you, dads matter. Amen, guys? You can say it with me, guys. Dads matter. Amen? And God told Abram, he said, you got me. I am. Wow, what a gift. What a gift. God said, Abram, I know you got needs. I want to let you know. Here's a blank check. You got me. I am. And he held out his arms wide and he said, you got me. I'm your shield. I'll protect you. Your exceeding great reward, I'll provide for you. What are the two most significant roles of a father in a home? Protection and provision. Amen? Amen. And we see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus was protected time and time again. They tried to throw him off a cliff in his hometown. How's that for popularity? On your first day to preach in the hometown church, and they were ready to throw you off a cliff. But the Bible says he walked right through the crowd. What is that? That's protection. We don't know if God froze him, like on The Chosen. You know, when they, how many of you saw that depiction on The Chosen when Jesus walked right through the crowd? It's like they got frozen, and they were about to pick up a rock and stone him. And They're just frozen solid, and Jesus walks right, Jonathan Rumi walks right through the midst of them, right? That's protection. Jesus was protected by his Father. Jesus was provided for by his Father. Amen. He lived like his predecessors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says they wandered around in tents, and Jesus essentially, during his 3 years ministry, he never had a home of his own. And I love how episode 2, they depict that Jesus living out of a tent. I never stopped and thought about it, but Jesus lived like a nomad. He lived like a camper. But he was provided for. Amen? Protection and provision. These are the two things, the primary role of a father. Hallelujah. Let's look at some verses. Did you know there's three times in the New Testament that the word Abba is mentioned? Three times. Three scriptures. I want us to look at them real quick. We won't stay long on them, but turn over to Romans 8:15. Just put your eyes on the word so we can ingrain this idea of Abba in our lives. And ladies, this is for you too. This is not just a Father's Day exhortation message. This is for you ladies that didn't grow up with a good father or had no father. And I want to just remind you today, you have a father. And even if you had a good father or an excellent father, I'm telling you, there's a better one out there. His name is God Almighty. Amen. He is the great I am. And he said, I'll be a father to you. I'll be your protector. I'll be your provider. Amen. We have him living in us 24/7. Aren't you so glad? Romans 8:15. For you have not received, again, the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs. Say heirs. Listen, you didn't just get loved. You got something in the process. God didn't have to go to this extent. But the Bible calls it a great salvation. How many of you know it's a great salvation? God doesn't stop at just good enough. He goes far beyond. Amen. And he didn't just forgive us our sins and love us. He made us heirs. Heirs. Heirs of what? Well, let's read on. Heirs of God. Listen, when you have him, you got it all. How many heirs of God we got in here today? Amen. When you have the Father, you have it all. But it goes on to say, we are joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, indeed that we might be glorified together. What that's saying is this: you won't go through this life attached to God, enjoying your heirship without some troubles. Let's just be real about the Christian life. Amen. Let's just don't be shocked when troubles come our way. That's what he's saying right here. There's going to be some suffering in order to enjoy the good things in life that Jesus came to give us. But we can enjoy them. Amen. And Jesus enjoyed them. When we were in Israel a month ago, we were looking at a place I'd never visited before. And it was in Caiaphas's house. Caiaphas was the high priest that they brought Jesus to before they brought him to Pilate, the Roman governor. And when they brought him to Caiaphas' house, Caiaphas's house also was like a holding detention center. It was like a court building. He kind of, you know, had a part of it that was his residence. Part of it was used for holding prisoners. And there was a dungeon, literally a pit in the middle of that house. It's carved out of stone. And that pit went down to a lower floor. It's like it went down from story 3 to story 2. And we actually could take a staircase and go down there and go down to the level where the dungeon was. And that pit is where they lowered Jesus as a holding place while they were getting ready to bring him out to Pilate. And down in the bottom, there was like a little torture chamber, honestly. They had a place where you could tie a man's wrist like this, tie him up, you know, like an X up against, you know, like this, up against the wall. And then you could whip him. And then they had another room where you could where just hold the prisoner until they took him out to the governor. I never knew that, but they had us read Psalm 88. And Psalm 88 is a beautiful depiction. If you've never read it, and I've read Psalms many times through the whole book, but I never stopped and noticed that Psalm 88 talks about Jesus being in a pit for me. And I'm telling you, there's a preciousness about when we think about the suffering of Jesus, everything he went through. The disciples, the Bible tells us, had fled, right? When they took him in the garden, you with me so far? I lose you. Jesus was abandoned by his disciples, and yet he was not abandoned by the Father. Amen. He went through all that suffering, not until the cross, right at the last minute when he became our sin, when that final death blow was struck to man's sin. That's at the moment where God had to turn his back on Jesus. But up until that point, God was with him all the way. I'm telling you, God is with you in the pit. God is with you in despair. God is with you in your suffering. God is with you no matter what you're going through. He's with you. You're not alone. And Jesus enjoyed the Father's presence. We can too. Amen? But it says here we must be willing to suffer with him. One more verse, Galatians 4. Turn over a few books to the right from where we are, Galatians. So we got 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Yeah, how many of you know Scripture agrees with itself? Anytime you're doing a topical study, you'll find scripture after scripture after scripture written by different authors, because all these books are written by different, most of them are written by different authors. But the scripture agrees with itself. It's a beautiful thing. It's the harmony. We call it the harmony of scripture. Amen. You'll hear people say, well, I don't read the Bible because it contradicts itself. No, your brain just can't figure out how things weave together. But I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. It harmonizes with itself. Amen. And so Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7 harmonizes with what we just read in Romans 8. Galatians 4, 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, what? Crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're seeing a consistent idea, aren't we? That we've been made heirs of God through what Jesus has done. Listen, the greatest treasure we get in salvation is not all these things we like to talk about, you know, peace of mind, peace in the home, prosperity in our finances, health in our bodies. Those are all wonderful blessings, but the greatest blessing we get is being an heir of God. Amen. We inherit Father. We got a new Father. How many of you got a new Father? Amen. If you've been born again, you got a new Father. And that's what this verse is talking about. We have become heirs of God through Christ. One more verse in Mark chapter 14. This is the other place. There's three places I told you where the word Abba is used in the New Testament. This is the third place, Mark 14 and verse 35. Look at that verse real quick with me. Mark 14, 35. How many of you know Mark was not one of the 12 disciples? We tend to think that because the book of Mark is in the Bible that, oh, he must have been one of the 12. No, he wasn't one of the 12. He was just a young man who was touched by the gospel. Amen. He was a relative of, come on, this is a Bible quiz here, and don't you say it. I know you know it. Who was his relative? Barnabas. Yeah, somebody got it on the second row there. Yeah, Barnabas. Barnabas is his relative. And Barnabas and Paul at one point were traveling companions. How many of you know the gospel touches people who are out on the fringes? Right? You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the well-known evangelist to be important in God's kingdom. Mark was not either of the, he wasn't a disciple of the 12 disciples, but he was touched by the gospel. And his life was so impacted that he wound up writing the gospel of Mark. Amen. So many of you in here, you think, well, does God even notice me? I'm telling you, God knows you. And if you'll follow him, he'll make something impactful out of your life. Amen. Just like he did, Brother Mark. Mark 14, verse 35. And he went forward a little. This is talking about Jesus. He's in the garden the night before he was crucified. And he fell down on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said this, look at it. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not that I will, but that thou will. Jesus suffered the greatest loss to give us our greatest gain. Amen. A father. A father. Don't miss this greatest treasure. We've been guaranteed. If you're guaranteed one thing in Christianity, it's this: to be deeply loved. Deeply loved by a Heavenly Father. Amen. Or as they say at Joseph Prince's ministry, greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved. Right? I love that intro. We are guaranteed to be deeply loved. Right? You'll hear people say things like, well, you know, everybody deserves such and such. You ever heard that? You know, everybody deserves three square meals a day. Every child deserves an education. You hear phrases like this, right? But I'm telling you, through the gospel, we see that everybody deserves to be deeply loved. Amen. We are heirs of God. We are heirs of the love of Abba, the same love that God had for Jesus. He loves us with. If you don't have anything else in life, I'm telling you, you may not feel like you can get anywhere in life materially or with your career or whatever. But I'm telling you one thing, if you'll get a hold of it, you'll go far places in life. And that is, you are deeply loved. You have a father. And he gives himself to you like he gave himself to Father Abraham. He says, I'm yours. Amen. I'm yours. Jesus knew this love, and this is why he fell to the ground, because he was about to be severed. He knew that when he went to the cross to become sin for us, he would experience something he had never encountered before. Because, you know, all 33 years that Jesus lived on earth, he lived sinlessly, which means he lived in unbroken fellowship with the Father. But before he came to earth, Jesus lived in unbroken fellowship with the Father. It was the same thing for eternity past. All of his human life and all of his, if we can say it this way, his divine life, he had only known one thing, the intimate love of the Father. And just as it's unnatural for us as humans to not be loved and cared for properly by an earthly father, Jesus knew that when he went to the cross, the ultimate experience of suffering for him would not be those nails piercing his wrists. It would be the point at which he became sin for us. And he knew there would be a departure. There would be a death, not just a physical death. Death is separation. And he would bear in himself, in his experience, separation from this eternal love he had only known. That was his suffering, being severed from that eternal love. Amen? And so you've got business moguls out there that have every material blessing, every material, I should say, treasure they could lay their hands on. But they've got no peace at night when they lay their heads on their pillows because of the gnawing sin on their conscience. These people are longing for a father's love. You've got teenage runaway girls who have sold themselves into promiscuity and abuse. They're despairing of life itself. And yet inside their heart, they're just a little girl longing for what? The love of a father. We've got sports athletes, amazing athletes, who see endless streams of accomplishments through their physical skills on the ball field. And yet inwardly, they're never satisfied. Because with each accomplishment, there's something inside that cries out for more. And they can't find it no matter how many trophies they stack up in their sports room there at their mansion. They can't find what their inner man is really crying out for. And what is that? It's the longing for a father's love. And we all cry out for it. Father's love will heal all the woes of society. It's the cry of every human heart to be loved by a father. And it's the guarantee of every believer in Jesus. Amen? To be loved by Abba, just like he was. He even prayed that in John 17. He said that they might experience the love that you and I have, Father. He was talking intimately with his daddy, his Abba. He said that they may know this love that we have together. The promise for every believer. Amen? You know, in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, we have many, many, many provisions that are prayed for in that prayer. You know, forgive us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. There's lots of prayer requests within the Lord's Prayer. But they're all tied to the fact that he is our Father. It starts with our Father. How are we guaranteed every other blessing? Because we've already been given a Father in Christ Jesus. Amen? One last verse that we turn to Romans 8:32. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans 8:32. We're going to conclude with this verse here. Why don't you stand together as we read it? Let's just, in honor of the Word of God, let's just stand together. Romans 8:32. And he that spared not his own son, who's that talking about? God the Father. God the Father spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. All things. And then in verse 38, look later in the chapter, he says this in verse 38. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. In salvation, we get two wonderful blessings, the love of God and all things. Amen. Every other blessing comes to us, but the greatest blessing is the love of God. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all of you. Happy Father's Day. Embrace that which Jesus suffered to give you. And what was it? A loving Father. A loving Father. Abba. We call him Abba. Yes, you can approach God. You can say, Dear God Almighty. Dear Jehovah. You can say all these biblical names that are true of who God is. But the most endearing name and the name we've been given as a gift by Jesus is Abba. Daddy, Father. So next time you pray, approach him in that way. He's dad. What does that mean? It means he's nearby. A real father is close to you. A real father is near his children. Amen? He doesn't just claim them from afar. That's easy to do. You know, kids are sometimes, they could be off-putting, but real fathers stay close. Whether the kids appreciate him or not. I'm telling you, your father is close to you. He's just a breath away. In fact, he lives inside you. It's unfathomable, really. But he lives inside us. I was packing some things in my suitcase yesterday, getting ready to fly home. And it was just one little thing. The Lord just a gentle nudge, a gentle reminder. You know, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll remind you of all things. That's not just all biblical things. That means he's our divine helper. Amen. He's our divine reminder. Aren't you glad to have a divine reminder? And I can't even remember now what it was he reminded me of, but I got it in my, I put it in the right pouch or the right place. And how many of you know it's always good to make sure you take home with you everything you brought to the place you went. And so I just know that in that moment, I just said to my heart, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for reminding me of that. I wasn't even in a prayerful mood at that moment. I wasn't necessarily doing something right with my attitude or my this or my that, but God just out of love gave me a reminder. Because that's who he is. He loves us. And I just said, thank you. Thank you for that reminder. He's good. Amen. Just reach out your hands to him right now. Let's just receive a little bit of that love from the Father. I feel his presence even here, even in this moment. He's so good. Say this with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Hallowed be thy name. That means his name. He lives up to his reputation. He lives up to his name. He has called himself our Father, and he does what he says about himself. He loves us. He protects us. He provides for us. He cares for us. He's our Father. And he's a holy Father. He lives up to that reputation that his title bears. He's holy. And he's ours. Would you just receive Abba today? Receive his love for you. Not only in this moment, it's easy to feel God in church. How about when you go home? How about while you're on the way home? How about tomorrow morning while you're fighting traffic on the way to work? In those moments too, he is Abba. In every moment, he longs to be a part of our life as daddy. And he's there with you to help you, to love you. Lord, we're so grateful. Jesus, we thank you. Come on, let's tell him thank you. We thank you, Jesus. You suffered. You suffered at that last moment. The most grueling part of your sufferings, Lord, was not the physical, although that was unbearable in itself. But you suffered eternal separation in that moment. You felt being cut off like we have felt before we were in Christ. You felt separation, the gulf fixed between sinner and God. You felt that on your cross, and you had never encountered that before. What an awful feeling. So that today we could feel close to God, we could know the presence of our Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your great suffering for us. Thank you, Lord. There are moments, there are situations you'll find yourself in life where you feel like, or you think in your mind, whether because of bad thinking, nobody in this room loves me, or I'm lonely here, no one gives a hoot about me. You might think, well, my parents are detached from me. Does anybody really care for me? Am I loved? You know, this is the deepest question that people have to have answered in their hearts. And I'm telling you, in that moment, if you reach out by faith and just take hold of the promise, you can know the Father's love and the Father's presence. And I'm telling you, it's enough. It's enough. You don't have to have 1,000 likes on Facebook. You can have one like, one love, and it's Abba. Amen. He's yours. Receive him today. You say, Pastor, I'm standing here today, but I'm not a Christian, or I've been away from God. I need to get right with Jesus. If that's you today, with eyes still closed for just another moment, I'm going to give you the courtesy of privacy here in this place for a moment. But if you say, I need to be made right with God, I need to get my life right with Jesus, I want to be born again. If that's you, raise your hand real high. We're going to pray a prayer together. I'm not going to embarrass anybody here. But if you say, I want to be made right with God, I want to get right today, I want to have my sins forgiven, and connect to this God you've described as Abba. Anybody here at all? Just raise your hand. Hey, we all had to go through this process. We all went through this door of admitting, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Anybody at all? You say, Jesus, I need you to save me today from my sins. Just raise your hand. We're going to pray a prayer together. All right? Now let's pray this prayer aloud. Everybody praying with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, heaven's greatest gift, the perfect Lamb of God, sinless, spotless, never did wrong, came in human flesh, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law of Moses on my behalf, so that you could credit me with a godly life, so that you could justify me in your holy presence, so I could stand without guilt, without shame, before a holy God. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, my Savior. I believe he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. I receive Jesus now as my Lord, the master of my life, as my Savior, the one who delivers me from all evil. Save me, Jesus. Wash me in your blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or maybe for the seventh time, but you made your heart right with God today, we rejoice with you. And there's people here that stand with you. If you don't have a church, we ask you to consider being a part of this church. It's a good church. Amen. And we're going somewhere in Jesus. We're going some places in life together. It's going to be exciting.